Happy Sunday. Thank you guys so much for allowing us the time to be here today. As introduced, my name is Aaron Hicks, pastor of a church in Romulus called Rise, but I'm lovingly called Pastor A. So you can feel free to call me Pastor A. I will say I felt really, really at home when I came today. You guys are awesome. Great, great hospitality, love, and warmth shown. But more than that, you guys are family. As you heard a little bit in our bio today, Oak Point and the family of locations and campuses helped launch Rise Church to make an impact for the kingdom of God in Romulus. So I'm super thankful for your prayers, for the support, and for the opportunity to share with you guys today in the Word of God. Can you say amen? Amen. Yeah. Can you say yeah?
Yeah?
Okay. Awesome. I love it. I love it. Those things are totally cool if you want to shout at any time during our time together today. All right. Listen, before we get into it, I just want to acknowledge a couple people. First, I want to give an acknowledgement to Pastor Mark. Can we make some noise for Pastor Mark in his absence? Pastor Mark is a buddy of mine, and when he called and asked if I could come, I'm like, absolutely, I would be there. Love Pastor Mark, and I love all of you. Also, my wife is here, my wife Sheena, my kids. I call my wife Sheena Snugglepuff, so can y'all just give it up for Snugglepuff and crew? Yeah, yeah. And then I see some people here from Rise Church. I got my Rise Church fam here, the Mayfields. Anybody else from Rise Church here? Show of hands. But we traveled a little bit today, so can y'all give it up for my Rise Church fam as well? And then can we make the most noise, the biggest noise that we can for Jesus? Come on. Come on. Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, today I'm not going to be in front of you long. We're going to jump into it. There's a couple things in here that I want us to see, and then I'm going to get out your way so you guys can go enjoy some brunch or something, right? So we've got a couple different texts that we're going to discuss today, and the first one is found in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11. And if you've got your Bible, I believe it's going to be on the screen. We're going to come from a topic today entitled Stretch Your Faith. Somebody shout, Stretch Your Faith. Yeah, stretch your faith. Say it with a little bit more conviction. Come on, let me hear you. Stretch your faith. Yeah, stretch your faith. There we go. Y'all sound wonderful today. So we're going to take a look at Hebrews 11. And so if you're following along, I love a teaching environment. So I might ask you to write some things down, take some notes, because I more than what I want from you today is not just a hearing a good message or a good thought for you to chew on or reflect on throughout the week. I want you to take these things that you're learning today and grow from these things. All right. So Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, if you have your Bible with you, if you have your YouVersion Bible app, right, or if you are following along on the screen, I want you to find Hebrews 11:1 and do me a favor, hold that. And then I also want you to find, we're gonna bounce just a little bit back and forth so we can see the full picture of the person we're going to study today. After you've got Hebrews 11:1, Genesis 12 and 1. Genesis 12 and 1. Genesis is the first book of the Bible. So 12 chapters in verse 1. Okay? All right. And this is what it says. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. I'm reading from the New King James Version. This is what it says. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Y'all see that? Somebody give me a yeah. Yeah, awesome. Now, Genesis 12 and 1, right? So we see the definition of faith in Hebrews. Now we take a look with that, with how the Lord dealt with Abram, who we know as Abraham. Genesis 12, 1 says this. The Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family and your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. You shall be a blessing. Look at all that good stuff. And I will bless those who bless you. Yes, Jesus, do it, right? And I will curse him who curses you. Yes, get my haters, Lord, right? Now We want all the blessings, but we don't want any of that other stuff, do we? Right? So all this sounds great, right? I'll bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all families of the earth will be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord spoke to him. Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Okay, let's go back to Hebrews chapter 11. Now let's take a look at verse 8, what it says about Abram. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place, that's what we just read, which he would receive as an inheritance. He went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. All right. Thank you so much. Somebody shout, stretch your faith. Yeah. We're going to use this as our thought for today. We need to stretch our faith. And here's what I know. Here's what I firmly believe about every single one of you that are in this room today, that God wants to use you to do something amazing for his glory. Can you say amen? Yeah, that God has a purpose, something great for you to accomplish, something awesome for you to achieve, but it's going to require some faith to get it done. It's going to require you stretching in areas of faith that you might not be able to obtain or achieve on your own, okay? So today, I want us to be thinking through this reflective thought. In what ways can I stretch my faith? Now, Hebrews chapter 11 is something that we refer to as like the Faith Hall of Fame. Okay, this is like the people that made it, and they're the great people that we can model or emulate or hear their stories about how they trusted God, how they believed God in spite of what it looked like. They made it. They made it to the Hall of Fame of people that had to trust God in circumstances beyond their control. They are the ones that we would call the heroes or Hall of Fame of faith. All right? Well, I believe it's really important for us to understand a little bit more about what faith truly is. Now, we read first Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, as it gives us a little bit of a definition of what faith is, but also kind of sets us up as the guide in which the people that we read in Hebrews chapter 11 made it to this passage in the Bible. So when we read Hebrews chapter 11, and it says that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, it can sound a little bit confusing, right? How can I have a substance, something physical, of something that I hope for, something that's not tangible, but then also how can I have evidence, how can I present something if I can't see it? So today I want to illuminate our understanding a little bit. And is it okay if I take us to seminary just for a moment to help better understand this? I made a slide for us to kind of present here so we can kind of see this, the way that faith will download and how it's going to work for us on our behalf. This is what it says here. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, comma, the evidence of things not seen. Somebody shout substance. Yeah, somebody shout evidence. These two words in Hebrews 11 and 1, we have to understand what is being said about these two words here, because that puts everything in the faith context to a proper perspective. So the first word I want to show us is the Greek word for substance. Okay, the Greek word for that is hypostasis, okay, hypostasis. And what that means is confidence, firm trust, and assurance. Confidence, firm trust, and assurance. If you're taking notes, this is a great thing to write down. Confidence, firm trust, and
assurance. So it's not just, faith is not just hoping with a lot of might and a lot of fervor. It is assurance and confidence mixed with hope. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying today? I just don't have hope that something might happen, something could happen, something will happen, right? I am confident, my confidence in God mixed with the hope that this thing is going to happen is the birthplace of faith. Okay, need us to see that. The second word in the Greek is that word evidence, and it means elenchos. Can y'all say elenchos? Yeah, and what it means is a proof that by which a thing is proven or tested. Now, this is the real one that kind of adds more insight to what faith is. It is the process by which the thing that is not seen is proven or tested. So when you have faith, it's not just confidence and hope, but it's also a process in which the thing that you're hoping for and are confident in is going to come to pass. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? Somebody give me a yeah. All right, so when we put these things together, let's go to the next slide here. This is the way that faith reads when we put those two from the Greek in context. So I'm going to read it again, and this is really good. I hope it helps you today. Now, faith is the confidence, firm trust, and assurance of things hoped for, and the process of which a thing that is not seen is tested. I hear that. I heard y'all. Yeah, that was good, wasn't it? Right? Yeah, we can chew on that all week, right? We can pray and go home off of that, right? It is the confidence, firm trust, and assurance of things hoped for, and the process by which the thing that you're believing for has been tested. So it's not just, am I hoping and believing and trusting God for something? If you are going to apply faith, you are going to have to go through a process of trust and a process of trial until the thing that you're believing for comes to pass. Can you say amen? Amen. Now, there's two things in the definition of faith that are not defined. Okay, two elements that we all in this room really want to know. Okay, the first thing that we see in the definition of faith is that it's the assurance of things, stuff, right? The Bible doesn't give us guidelines on all the stuff you can believe God for, all the things that you can have faith for. It doesn't do that. And the second thing faith doesn't tell us is how long the process is going to take. Uh-oh. You're like, wait a minute. Faith is not a microwave product where you can have absolute trust in God today and belief, and then tomorrow it's in your hands. No, if you're going to put your faith and trust and your confidence in God, what it's going to do is it's going to prove through the working of time and process how big, how much you really believe God through the time it takes to bring it to pass. Can you say yeah? Yeah. Well, in our reading today, what it shows us, one more point here, is that faith is a continuum. Okay, can we put that last slide back on the screen just for a moment? I want to give us a disclaimer here, because some of us in this room might have believed God for something in times past. We might have operated in faith before. We might have had to believe God for something before. But because we've done it one time doesn't mean, oh, I operated in faith, I trusted God, it happened, and now I can check that off the box. But if you're going to live the life of a Christian, you are consistently going to have to trust God. You are consistently going to have to operate in faith. So when this process expires on something that you're trusting God for, there is going to be something else in your life that's going to take faith to get it again. Can you say yeah? All right, thank you so much for that slide. I appreciate it. Well, in our reading today, we highlight specifically a man by the name of Abram or Abraham. And he has a specific thing that God was calling him to do. And this, I want us to see this thing because it's kind of like a parallel, but we may not have direct draws from what's being shared, but there will be principles that we can all take from today, okay? And the first thing here is in Genesis 12 is that God tells Abram, now known as Abraham, I want to use you in a great way. There's something big I have for you. There's something I want you to achieve. There's something I want you to accomplish, but it's going to require you to get away from your family, your land, and everything in your life that is familiar. Now, in our own life, we may not have that level of faith that's required where God is asking us to leave everything we know behind. But God might put something on the inside of us, a dream, a vision, a thought, something you can't shake, something that keeps you up at night. And everything in that causes you to stretch beyond what you're comfortable. See, the principle in this where God is talking to Abraham is not everybody who goes through the journey of faith has to leave everything behind. But what faith does, it requires you to stretch beyond what you're comfortable. It requires you to believe in ways that you are not capable of obtaining the thing on your own. Some of you right now might have a dream, an ambition, something that you want to achieve. And I want to tell you that faith is going to stretch you beyond your comfort zone. This is point number one today. So if you're taking notes, this is a great thing to write down. Faith stretches your comfort zone. Maybe it's a nonprofit that you want to start and you're like, how am I going to get this off the ground? I don't know anybody. I don't have the connections. I don't have the resource. Yeah, the point of faith is not so you have all the answers on how it's going to come about, how it's going to happen. The process of faith is that you trust God for the thing that's in your heart. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Can y'all say amen? Right? So faith is going to require you to stretch beyond your comfort zone. How am I going to do this? How is this going to happen? How is this going to manifest and come all the way about? Well, that right there is the birthplace of faith. When you acknowledge that the thing that I believe and I have trust in and hoping for and believing for are things that I can't achieve on my own, that right there is the birthplace of faith. When if you could do it on your own, it wouldn't take faith to do it. If you could just write a check for it, that's called a transaction. That's not called faith. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? It is acknowledging that there is something greater, bigger than myself, something that God is calling me to do. Well, Pastor A, what does that mean by a calling, God calling me to do something? Maybe it's something that stays right here on the inside. You say, I have these thoughts. I keep thinking these things. I go to sleep. I wake up thinking about it. I'm having dreams about it. Maybe there's something I should do with it, but I don't have the resources, the manpower, or the wherewithal to achieve it. That is the birthplace of faith. Okay? Amen. All right? So Abraham, it was a man that was called by God. And if you read Genesis chapter 12, he had a ton of resources. He was a wealthy individual. And it doesn't matter how much money you make, how much little you make, what your credentials are. You, the ask of God, from God, is the requirement to trust God through faith. Abram was well-to-do, well-off. He still had to trust God. God is always demanding from his people a call to trust him. Even when circumstances look like you should not be trusting. And can I tell you the biggest thing, the biggest reason why faith is a stretch beyond your comfort zone? It's because when God is putting something on the inside of your heart, or you have a vision or ambition to do something, it often means that you don't have the control to bring it to pass. And we like control. Where are my control freaks at? Where y'all at? Right? It's got to be done. Okay, I really want to do this, but it's got to be done this way. It's got to be done like this. It's got to be done this day. These have to be the colors of it. This is the way it's got to be put all together. That's us. That's what we love. Right? But oftentimes, faith is like, hey, I need you to take your hands off the wheel. What's that? Jesus, take the wheel, right? I need you to take the wheel. That means when you are asking God to take us further through faith, I trust you. It is a conscious decision to let go of control. And you have to let go and you have to trust that God is going to take you to the thing that he's placed in your heart to produce. Say amen, somebody. The second thing that we see about faith is that when God tells Abram in Genesis 12:1, get away from all of the things that are familiar and go to a place that I will show you. This is a very interesting phrase to tell Abraham, because all the things that he was leaving are things that he was comfortable with and familiar with. But it's a difference between God showing you something and you seeing something. And I want to tell you the difference today from sight or seeing versus being shown. You can see a ton of stuff because you have eyes. And it doesn't mean that someone intentionally revealed something to you. And here's the difference. When you see things, those things are just the product of your environment, what you pay attention to, what you observe, your surroundings, your familiarity. But when God says, I will show you something, he wants you to focus your attention off of the things that are easily seen and hold fast to what he's showing you. Well, let me give you an example here. One of these areas in your life, you might have a child that you might say, hey, I really have a desire that they would give their life to Jesus one day. And you might be operating in faith for that child to come down here one Sunday, come down front and give their life to Jesus and get baptized. But oftentimes what we see and what we're shown are two different things. Oftentimes what we see is at war with what we've been shown. It's the opposite of what we've been shown. You might have been believing, and it might have been a long time for you believing that that child is going to come down here and give their life to Christ. And you might be full of faith and say, yes, I know that they're going to give their life to Christ that one day. Well, this past week, you might have had a blow up with that same child that you've been having that faith for. And you might have gotten into the biggest argument that you can think of. And they might have even said something like, see, this is why I hate coming to church. This is why I don't go to church, right? And those things might be there to discourage you. And I want to tell you that right there, if you pay attention to the things that you see, you'll get discouraged in the things that's been shown on the inside of your heart. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? So I want to encourage you today, don't let what you see deter you for what you've been shown. God wants to do something great in your life. God wants to take you further. And this call to Abram is to get away from all the things that throw you off. Get away from the things that easily distract you. Get away from the things that you can get lost in your attention. And I want you to go to a place that I will show you. Now, the element of time is a really tough thing because you're like, how long do I have to believe? Well, let me ask you, how much do you trust? Do you need the circumstances to be right or the situation to operate a certain way for you to stand firm in faith? I want to share an example with you, and then I'll get ready to kind of bring this to a close here. But our church, you heard a little bit. We were going through the process of COVID and being a church that's in a post-COVID world. We had a lot of challenges. And we were meeting in a hotel in Romulus for a while. And then we were informed that we could no longer meet there. And then you guys know the great Mecca of Romulus, right? How awesome it is and how many businesses are there and how everybody's dying to go to Romulus. Oh, y'all don't know that version of Romulus? Okay. Yeah. So Romulus doesn't have a whole lot of meeting space. It doesn't have a whole lot of things for us to gather. But I was like, you know what, God, I'm going to believe you and we're going to trust you to give us a place that we can call our own place so we can worship. Well, we lost our meeting space, and because we couldn't find another gathering space, we went online for a while. Then we started meeting at a church at 3 p.m. on Sundays, and then the Lions had the nerve to start winning. You know how tough it is to have church at 3 p.m. when the Lions are actually good, right? I was like, the Lions are messing with me. They're doing this on purpose. Well, we had still this vision and faith to believe God that he was going to bring us into our own place. Well, we found a building, and we thought that it was amazing. It was great. It was where God was going to take us to. This is going to be our new home. We did campaigns. We did fundraisers. We did all that. We got a couple $100,000 raised to be able to put down for the down payment of the building. I went to the building owner, and we tried to renegotiate a couple things, and all of a sudden, he's like, deal is over. Deal is done. I'm not dealing with you anymore, basically. And I knew that God was calling us and he was going to put us in Romulus and we were going to have a place to worship, but the circumstance didn't match my faith. What I saw wasn't what I was shown. And so even though it didn't go according to plan, I was tempted to quit, tempted to give up, tempted to get discouraged, tempted to throw in the towel. But you're going to have to make a decision at one point or another on the process of faith. Am I believing God? Is my trust greater than my temperance? Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? Is my trust for God greater than my attitude, greater than my ambition? Is my trust greater than what my situation says, my circumstance says, and all the above, right? Long story short, to fast forward it, we came across another property, right? And we're like, okay, well, maybe this is it. And in the moment, you're looking at things and you're wondering how things are going to go. Well, we ended up connecting with a couple of financial institutions on a couple different options. And they told us that if we could come up with a certain dollar amount to put down on the building, then we could finance it and we could purchase this building. Well, what I didn't realize is in the moment when we were going through the process of trying to secure the first building, all it was in this faith journey was the process of us getting our down payment for what God had really had for us. And so even though the first building didn't work out, it wasn't about the little things that I thought it was going to go a certain way. It was all about the process of faith and how much do you trust God? Because even though it doesn't look like it's going the way you want it to go, God still has a perfect plan. Can you say amen? Well, the bank said, yeah, we think we can finance you, and we just have to have X amount of dollars down. Well, it was the amount, the exact amount that we had when we were trying to secure the first building. And what I want to tell you is it doesn't matter what your circumstance and situation says. Do you have the faith to trust God despite your situation? Are you willing to stand on what's on the inside of your heart more than what everything around you looks like? Now we've purchased the building, fast forward, and we've got some renovations going on. Excuse me. One thing I love about this microphone is how even if you cough, it picks it up, right? You can't, like, break it away. It's perfect, right? It's awesome. One thing through this process is that now we're going through another fundraiser to secure the last bit we need for our furnishings and equipment, things like that, like audio, video, things of that nature. And my mindset, I notice, has shifted because this is what I've learned through the process of faith. Once you start trusting God and he starts showing you who he is, once you encounter another challenge, once you encounter another obstacle, once you encounter another issue, you start building a little bit of courage and saying, hey, the same God that opened up a door for me over here is the same God that is going to lead me through this next chapter, this next phase, this next issue. You know, Goliath doesn't seem to be that big of a giant if you've already got victory. victories fighting lions and bears. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When God starts building your faith and building your courage, and you start getting encouraged from seeing how all the things that you've been believing and trusting, even if it didn't go your way, it starts to fully come together as you trust, and God starts working everything out for your good. When you face the next challenge, you go, I trusted God and God came through the last time. I trusted God two times before that. He came through. I know that God is going to see me through this time as well. So today, I just stopped by to ask us a big question today. And that is, where is God inviting you to stretch your faith? What is it? Your story is not my story. Right? How you're believing and what you're praying for is not the things that I'm praying for. But this is what I know. The Bible says that the just shall live by faith. Faith is the measuring stick by which all believers have to live. So God is inviting all of us in this room to stretch our faith in one way or another. Where is that for you? You heard me give an example about maybe it's a charity or a nonprofit that you want to start. Maybe it's that your child that's wayward will come through those doors and give their life to Jesus. Maybe it's going out and stretching your faith to partner in another way. Whatever it is, where is he inviting you to stretch your faith? Well, Pastor A, I've been believing God for a long time. It hasn't changed. Can I tell you today, keep believing. Keep exercising your faith. Keep trusting God. Well, everybody around me, I've been praying and I've been having faith to get to have a child. And everybody around me, now all my friends are pregnant. And their cats and puppies are even having puppies. And it just doesn't look like it's my turn. Well, I want to tell you to keep trusting. Keep operating in your faith. Keep believing God. In these areas, this is what we're going to see. I know this. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. I know that. And I know that God is inviting all of us in one way or another to stretch our faith. So today, my goal is that as you walk out, as you reflect this week, that you would say, where is God inviting me to trust him more? Put that hope and trust together. And then where am I on the process in which what I'm believing for is being tested? Can we pray? Father, I pray and I ask that you would give us the courage we need to trust you more. The insight, the boldness, the trust, give us the discipline that we need to stand firm. Give us faith today to trust you in spite of what the doctor might have said, in spite of what family and friends might have said, in spite of what circumstances might look like. Give us the goal of knowing that all things work together for our good. Give us the hope in knowing that you're for us and that the plans you have for us are to prosper us and bring us good success. So Lord, we trust you in this process. If we're on the heels of discouragement, if we're in the mountain or in the valley, give us the fortitude needed to continue to trust, continue to stretch our faith. This we ask in Jesus' name, amen.